We go now to Malaysia, where a Danish man has become the first person convicted under Malaysia's new fake news law. It's a law criminalizing the creation or sharing of content deemed fake news by the government. Salah Salim Saleh Sulaiman was sentenced to a month in jail for posting a misleading YouTube video involving the police. Now, elections are just a few days away in Malaysia, and opponents say this new law could be a weapon for censorship and silencing dissent. Mark Ludes is a journalist and editor. He joined me from Kuala Lumpur.
There was a murder in KL where the victim was a Palestinian, and he was shot dead in the streets of Kuala Lumpur. And Salah was allegedly a friend of the victim, and he was allegedly with the victim when it happened. And the entire issue arose when Salah created a YouTube video claiming that the police took about 50 minutes to arrive at the scene, and claiming that it took over 40 phone calls by the time the police arrived at the scene. And the police then responded saying that according to their logs, according to their records, they arrived at the scene within 8 minutes of getting the first call. And as a result, Salah was charged under the Anti-Fake News Act, and he was sentenced to 1 week in prison and a 10,000 ringgit fine, which is roughly about $2,500. Salah was then unable to afford to pay the fine, and there was therefore jailed for a further month because he couldn't pay the fine.
Now, Salah got arrested and convicted, as you say, under the new fake news law. It's interesting, though, Mark, because he made a video claiming something that the police say was false, but he's not a news organization. He's not a news reporter. He's just a private citizen who posted a video on YouTube that the government says is false, and yet that's still fake news.
That's right. And that is the entire thing about this law. This law applies to anyone and everyone, and it applies to pretty much every kind of media out there. This could apply to videos. It could apply to social media postings. It applies to print, to images, to cartoons. Most interestingly, or most worryingly, it also has extraterritorial applications, which means that the alleged offense could take place anywhere in the world. It could be committed by anybody. That person or that place doesn't have to be Malaysia or a Malaysian, as long as it pertains to Malaysia or it pertains to a Malaysian, they could be found to have committed an offense under this law. And that is why Salah, who's a Danish national of Yemeni descent, who was visiting Malaysia, was still subject to this law. He could have done the same thing, even if he was in Singapore or back in Denmark, and this law would still have been applied to him.
Now, Mark, what drove this law onto the books? Why is fake news perceived to be such a major problem in Malaysia? Why did the government respond in this way?
So, I mean, if you look at it, the reality of it is that there is a lot of fake news out there. And these things existed before 2016 when that phrase was coined. We used to call them rumors back in the day. All of this today is banded under this one term called fake news. And if you look at it, not just in Malaysia, but everywhere, you see this all over your social media posts. You see this all over your social messaging apps where things get forwarded and sent on without people checking to see if it's accurate or if it's true. But within this context, within what's happened right now, the worry from Malaysian civil society, from the legal fraternity, from opposition politicians, from regular people, is that fake news is being used, much like the way Donald Trump uses it, is being used to describe news that the government of the day doesn't agree with. And as a result, it could be used to prosecute people out of political motivations. And that is the big worry, that this law could be very open to abuse.
And within that concern that the government could simply brand stories it doesn't like as fake news, within that, Mark, there's the question of just who judges what's fake. How does the government go about determining what fake news is and who they're going to arrest and whom they're going to jail?
That's one of the biggest questions that's been asked, Todd, because one of the big worries that a lot of Malaysian lawyers, in fact, the Bar Council of Malaysia itself has raised, is that the definition of fake is so vague that it could very well be what the government decides it is. So Malaysia has unfortunately had tremendous form in the past for jailing people that in any other country wouldn't go to jail. So, for example, a couple of cartoonists have been sent to jail for what is obviously or has obviously been parody and satire directed against the prime minister of the country. Yet they have been prosecuted under previous existing laws. And with this new law, with the fake news law, the worry is that things like satire, things like parody, anything that's tongue-in-cheek is also not going to be exempt from the long arm of the Malaysian government. And that's clearly a worry. And if it's being used for political reasons with political motivations, then that becomes clearly an abuse of power and abuse of the government's position.
Well, Mark, before we go, let me ask about you, a journalist living in Kuala Lumpur. You and I are talking about the fake news law, and you're describing some of the implications, some of the potential for corruption here. I wonder if you have a worry that someone in the Malaysian government or the police might think that you're trafficking in fake news.
Well, I mean, for as much as I report, I have to be extra careful these days and have to be extra sure that whatever I report is couched and phrased and termed in such a way that it cannot be attacked in any possible way. And in many ways, if you think about it, that has always been the case for the media, because you are still under laws of libel, under laws of defamation. And in Malaysia, there are further laws that also control or kind of regulate what the media can say or do. So in that sense, nothing really changes for me on a day-to-day basis. I believe that if I do practice the journalistic ethics which I have learned and which I have gained in my time as a reporter, I should hopefully be fine.
Still, Mark, you're human and so am I. You've made mistakes in your reporting. I know I have. Are you worried about what happens the next time you make an honest mistake and report something that's not necessarily totally true?
Well, with this law, you could make a mistake. And if that mistake is judged to be malicious or with ill intent, then yes, certainly it could lead to some very severe penalties for me. And if that happens, then, you know, liberty would be at stake.
Journalist and editor Mark Ludes. Mark, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Malaysia is not alone in cracking down on fake news, or threatening to. Yin-Yin Liu is a doctoral researcher with the Oxford Internet Institute at the University of Oxford in England, and she's been studying this phenomenon worldwide.
I would divide fake news legislation into three buckets based upon the target, right? So Malaysia has the most extreme target, one might argue, which could apply to anyone in the general public. And we've already seen a non-Malaysian citizen being arrested, as you just mentioned, through this legislation. And the other two categories or targets are platforms that actually distribute content, namely social media platforms. And the law in Germany passed in January of this year represents that. And of course, journalists and media organizations themselves. And that's represented by the law passed in India that was subsequently overturned after opposition from human rights campaigners and the media itself. So I would say that Malaysia and India and Germany represent the three major categories of laws against fake news.
All right, let's start in Germany then. Explain what they're doing there.
So I think Germany represents one of the first explicit and major anti-fake news laws. It's called the Network Enforcement Act, implemented, I think, the very first of January. And what they're doing is they want social media platforms and websites to immediately remove fake news, especially those that incite hatred, and immediately means within 24 hours of the content being labeled by a user or by the government as being fake or illegal, as they say. It's a bit of a fuzzy definition, and the fine is up to 50 million euros. There are other countries that are looking at not passing legislation, but rather implementing government task forces to investigate fake news. And the UK is a notable player there, Indonesia and the Czech Republic.
Now, Prime Minister Theresa May in the UK, as you just mentioned, has talked about forming a fake news task force. A lot of this comes out of the experience of the Brexit campaign. What's going on in the UK?
So the big player here, as everyone knows, is Russia. And I think that has inspired Theresa May's statement about this National Security Communications Unit. That also applies, by the way, to France. And I think the common kind of aim here does seem to be political. And it seems that the motivation isn't necessarily to protect ordinary users from harm, but rather politicians from opposition. And the opposition, of course, can come from both domestic and notably international forces, namely Russia.
Now, Yin, talk a little bit more about the risk as you see it in these new laws that are cropping up. Malaysia, task forces in Czech Republic, the UK and elsewhere, designed not to protect users in your view, but to protect those in power.
I would say the biggest risk is the chilling effect, right? So it's the fact that people, journalists and ordinary users who use social media to broadcast their opinions and findings might choose not to report something that might potentially be construed as fake news, even if it's true. And this is why I also hate the term fake news. We have legislation in place for hate speech, for illegal content in many countries. What this fake news legislation seems to be doing is it's kind of blurring the boundaries between definitely illegal content that's already being covered with this new category of content that might be offensive to governments. And so, again, the biggest risk here is that there will be severe disincentives for journalists and citizens to publish anything that could potentially be controversial. And so it's disempowering the users and empowering people who are already in power.
Yin, thank you for joining us.
No problem.
Yin-Yin Liu is a doctoral researcher with the Oxford Internet Institute at the University of Oxford.